Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2008 Youth Education Conference held in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
You know, I was told there were 25 of you, and I counted about 63 when I came in the room. This is a great concept, the concept of doubling. You might want to think about this concept, and especially think about where you want to be on the concept of doubling. Everybody in the world is either doubling the money that they have on a doubling program, or they're doubling their debt. So when you think about doubling and how effective doubling is, you just might want to think about that concept a little bit. We're going to talk today some about math. And I know you're not here to see all these fun homeschoolers. You're not here for the cute guys and the cute girls. You're really here to do math. Yes. Right?
Yes.
I know that's why you're here. Okay. And we are going to start with a little game that we do. We have a little math co-op program in Bountiful. It's been in my house some. It's been in some different schools and co-ops. Where for about 2 hours a week for each group, we spend time in math stimulation programs. And we always start with what we call a gathering game. Now, you may know this game. It may be really simple to you. But what we find is that these really simple tasks, things that you may think are just so very simple, you speed them up a little bit. You add a little bit of pressure, maybe people watching you. You add a couple of hand motions, some reversals, and suddenly things that seemed really simple can trip you up. And we like to think about the astronauts who were in the Apollo 13. Have you seen that movie? It's a little bit, you know, stressful because they get up there. This is the true story that's depicted in the movie. It may not be depicted exactly as it was, but some things are exact, and they definitely got up there, had mechanical failure, they were losing heat, they're in a very cold little space vessel. Have you seen this? Yes. Okay. They're cold, they are without, their oxygen is being depleted inside the space shuttle. You think they're under some stress?
Yeah.
Okay. Their systems are down. During that stressful time, they had to do vector calculations to make sure they were going to hit the Earth. Okay? Exactly. Yes, they were deprived of sleep. So we just go ahead and do very simple calculations, some fun things. But this little game we're going to do now requires us to break up into groups and get in some circles. I'll do a real quick little demonstration of how we play the game, and then we're going to run through a couple of rounds, because as it promised, we're going to play some games. And we'll run through a few rounds and get you acclimated. Now, when I take my students out for our reward trips, they're almost always adventure trips. They're rock climbing and hiking, and you know, we like to do things like river rafting and really fun things. Those are our reward trips for doing math. Of course, there's lots of math on all those trips. The physics of, you know, being up on the mountain and the how far can you hike and all of these really fun math problems. So we don't do any pencil and paper math. But we also take these games, and one of the things I love about this game is you can do it anywhere. So maybe I'll see y'all out here in circles getting good at the sevens game. So go ahead and break up and get into groups. Just form little circles. At least 5 in a circle, probably not more than 10. Yes? So go ahead, let's see how fast you can do it. Really fast. That means you actually have to fight the law of inertia, the law of laziness. You have to get up. Right, form circles. I'm going to form some circles. Maybe these leaders here could help grab some circles of youth. Go ahead and get into some circles. Yeah, you can move the chairs if you want, or you can just move one or two chairs and leave a spot in the middle. You don't need... Oh, yeah, we got some serious inertia over here. Inertia is just overcoming you. Someone give him some energy. All right, there we go. Okay, we're going to get up and get into the circles. Okay, this is a very simple math concept, getting in a circle. I'm kind of tethered to a microphone. All right, good. We got one right here. We're going to start with them. You can watch them as you start to make your own. I would love to get us, if we're very fast, if you learn this very rapidly, we'll get a little session going and we'll get a little winner circle up here and have some fun. And please remember, you know, we're not going to tease each other about messing up because it's easy to mess up. Now, you all know your sevens times tables. That's not hard, right? And you all know when a number has a seven in it, like 7, 17, 27, 37. Okay, all we're going to do is go fast around the circle. We'll start a little bit slow since we're beginning. Come over here a little closer because I can't get the microphone that far. Okay, good job. All right. Nice job. Doesn't have to be a perfect circle. We're just going to count. We're going to go consecutively around. But when you come to the number 7 or a multiple of 7, that person won't say the number. They'll clap and they'll reverse. Okay? We're going to, now can you watch this group? Right, you're just going to count. Does it sound simple?
Yeah.
It sounds overly simple. You think it's going to trip you up?
Yes.
Okay, because we're going to add speed. We're going to add pressure, people watching you. We're going to add reversals, so you have to be able to think spatially. You won't be able to go ahead as far. And then we're going to drop people out as they mess up, so we're going to continually go faster, okay? So let's go ahead and start here. You can't tighten the circle, so one.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Clap. Now say eight.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
11.
12.
13.
14, okay, see? 15?
16, 17.
You don't say 17. What do you do for 17?
Seven.
No, because it has a 7 in it.
So I say 18?
You say 18.
Every time it has 7 in it.
Pardon me?
Is it every time it has 7 in it or every time it's divisible by
7?
Both. It's both if it has a 7 in it or if it's a multiple of 7, okay? So that's why it's tricky. So we have some places like 27 and 28 and 56 and 57, things like that are really close. Okay, you can see when we get going in our classes, we will run through 70 numbers in less than 20 seconds. Okay? Do you think that that requires a bit more concentration? Yeah, when we get in a winner's circle going, and you will be there too, but you can't just do it without practicing. You must put yourself under pressure. And that's true of all your math and science studies. Great things happen with a lot of stress and pressure. And if your mom is the only stress and pressure that you ever see, you might have some difficulties. Okay? Who can be the stress and pressure in your life? You can. Yes, you can. It helps. It also helps to get a great group together. A group that wants to excel. A group that wants to learn a lot about math and science. You know, math is power. Anyone in here like power? All right. You like to be able to do things? Now, do you have problems?
No.
You have problems? I hope you do have problems. I hope you have problems. Because you can't be a mathematician if you don't have problems. In fact, math and science is the answer to all your problems. Because a mathematician and a scientist are actually problem solvers. If you've ever solved a problem of any kind, you've used some kind of science. So we'll talk about that a little bit, what it takes to be a mathematician. Are you all mathematicians? Do we have anybody in the room who's maybe not so happy to be a mathematician? Yes? You're not really thrilled about being a mathematician? Okay, let's take 4 or 5 of these people.
I was just kidding.
Come on. Right up here, Blondie. Right here, come on. Okay, we're going to take this group, and we're going to put them on an island. Okay?
I'll start swimming.
Because they don't like math, right? Is that right? Do you think if we put them on an island, what kinds of things would they not have to do? There's no textbooks. Let's say there's no taxes. They don't have to do their taxes. What other kinds of math are you getting rid of?
Well, everything except physics.
Okay, there's no money. There's no money. They don't have to deal with money. Yes.
Gas mileage.
Okay, there's no gas mileage. So there's a lot of math that we're just going to dispense with because they don't like math. They're not mathematicians. They don't want to do this. So let's see here. What do you have to do on your island?
Food dispersal. We have to get food more compound. Food
disbursement. Okay. Or gathering?
And water, I guess.
Okay, you have to get water.
Build a plane out of bamboo using physics.
All right. Okay.
Shelters. And
okay.
Find coconuts.
Okay. Okay. They're starting to think about what they're going to have to do on the island. Basically, even though we move them to an island, we get rid of some of their math textbooks problems, they're still going to have problems, do you think so? They've got to have some problems. Now, you live here by the ocean, or many of you do. What other problems are you going to have with the weather?
Hurricane.
Yes, you might have some weather problems. If you're living on an island, what are you going to want to do about your weather problems? Okay, build a shelter, I heard. Very nice.
Predict.
Predictions. Math and science is completely driven by the effort to make predictions about your life. To be able to say what's going to happen or perhaps when it's going to happen. Very nice. So, these non-mathematicians here, what are you thinking? You're thinking on an island... What would you become?
What would I become? I'd become a forest woman.
A forest? Okay. So if she's working in the forest and gathering, you're gathering food. Food is a pretty, there's no grocery stores on the island. So what kind of math and science are you going to have to do? Here, this forest woman's going to be gathering food.
Figure out how many coconuts you need.
Okay, figure out how many coconuts you need. What else? You have to build any ladders or anything?
Yeah, you got to build stuff to keep yourself alive.
Okay. You might actually have to build something to get the coconuts. You might actually have to build something to open the coconuts. You might have to build something to store the coconuts. All of these things are going to require math and science. Now, it might be simpler math and science than getting to the moon. It's still math and science. Because, of course, science was science long before the word science ever came into being. People were solving problems. And that's what has made... our society. That is all the problems that are solved are done with math and science. Anyone else want to try? What would you be doing on the island? You think of math and science you'd have to be doing? You want to get home before dark? You're probably going to have to know.
What time it is.
Okay, what time it is?
What day is it?
What day is it? What
where
else?
You're going.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Where are you going? You're going to be mapping. You're going to have to map your island. One of the most exciting things we learn when we get in math groups and we start dealing with students who say, I just can't stand math. I'm never going to be a mathematician. What we learn about these students, they really are mathematicians. Deep inside them, there's a mathematician waiting to come out. Maybe they don't realize it. But that mathematician is there. And finding and nurturing that inner mathematician is part of what we're here to realize that you're a mathematician. Once you realize it, then you can say, hey, I'm okay with math and science because, look, it helps me solve problems. It opens doors. It's power. And you like that. Good job. Thank you. Give them a hand. Great. Okay. Yes, your brain is definitely going to develop a little bit more under pressure, as we talked about. You know, you might become a mathematician or a scientist on an island, but if you want to become a really great mathematician and a scientist, you're going to have to work. We have a little sign at our house. My children believe I'm a workaholic. They might be right. But it says, pray. As if everything depends upon the Lord. And work as if everything depends upon you. Now, if you're a great worker, you're going to be a great mathematician. And perhaps you don't realize all the math that you are doing now. So when we talk about math and science in our groups, first we kind of talk about a little bit more about what math and science is, more than what you may see. How many of you have heard about the quadrivium or the trivium? It's very popular in TJ Ed, so you may hear your parents talking about it. But the trivium, you're going to see, these are the ancient models of education, and the trivium involves grammar, logic, and rhetoric. So, you know, kind of your first steps. The quadrivium includes arithmetic, astronomy, geometry, and music. And they fit together. There is a special graph that is used just for the quadrivium model, but we have developed our own. Because, of course, we're mathematicians and scientists in our little club, so we created our own. We can create just about anything. Now, our modern quadrivium model, we see on there three circles, and each of these circles has a name. So we have number and time and space. Now, you may have thought that mathematics was just number. And if you thought that, well, then maybe it seemed a little bit way out there, kind of separated from your life and not that important. But when you see that mathematics actually includes a lot more than number, what else is on there? What happens when number touches space? Who sees that? What happens when number touches space? Geometry. Yeah, we've got geometry. That's a little more exciting than just plain number. Okay, what happens when time and space touch?
Music.
Okay, when we get time and number, we get music. Very nice. How many of you love music? All right. You're already mathematicians in one area, right? So we just take some of those skills. We realize, hey, I'm a mathematician here, and I can find that piece of mathematician in me and make it grow. I can go into these other areas because it's power, and I like to have power over my life. And gosh, I have problems. It's not just your own problems that you want to solve. You might get to the point where you want to solve world problems. Do any of you have any real idealistic, wonderful causes that you want to get involved in? World hunger? You want to solve any world hunger problems?
World peace.
Very nice. These are issues that require mathematics and science. Okay, who else sees one here? We did music, we did geometry. How about when time touches space? History. How many of you love history? Okay, we do a ton of history. We do a ton of history because it doesn't make any sense. Math and science is dead if all we do is talk about what's already been done. So for one, we go back in history and we find out a little bit about the struggle that it took to bring some of these truths out. And then we apply those same fun concepts to the current questions. We find the cutting edge of science. It's not going to be something that you find in a textbook. But we can find that, and that's where the life is. That's where the real fun is. And that's where students like to be, where the living science happens. Okay, what happens when time and space and number all come together? It's the sublime, right? It's science. This is my very favorite thing in the world. It encompasses everything. It's so fun. It's great to be a mathematician and a scientist because it opens doors. Now, you may say, gosh, I don't really need a career in math and science. Thanks. I don't really need a career in math and science. So why should I study math and science? And what do you tell people? Anyone have any ideas? Is there a reason for you to study math and science? Definitely helps you in your everyday life. There is this new word that you might come in contact with. If you haven't already come in contact with you, well, I'm going to expose you right now. So get ready. The word is innumeracy. Have you heard of it? Heard of innumeracy?
Isn't it basically infinity, or is it? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Good. You know what? Take a stab at it. That takes a lot of courage. Good job. What innumeracy is it's an inability to use numbers. Now you've heard of illiteracy, right? Would you be offended if someone was saying you were illiterate? Yeah, because that means that you might be able to just make a real struggle at it and read and write a little bit, but you can't do it well enough to get along in our society. You can't do it well enough to really excel. Well, innumeracy is similar to illiteracy. Innumeracy means that you can't use numbers properly. It means that even though you can add, subtract, multiply, and divide, you can't do it under pressure. And you can't do it well enough to make a decision. Maybe you can't analyze your chance and your risk well enough in society. Let me give you a couple of little puzzles. One of the definitions of innumeracy says that there is an increasingly complex world out there full of senseless coincidence. And what's required in many situations is not more facts. You're in the information age. You have all the facts you need. Is that right? You've got a lot of facts. It may not be more facts that you need. But what we need is a better command of the known facts. And this is invaluable. Because probability, like logic, is not just for career mathematicians anymore. It permeates every one of our lives. And so we have to be a little bit more aware of how to get along in this world. We have to become numerate. You can make that one of your goals, to become numerate. And there are some very fun books. Some of you who are just barely realizing that you're mathematicians. Maybe you didn't even think you were a mathematician an hour ago. You're just realizing it. You may struggle with math. How many of you like to read? You love great books? We've got a huge list of math books that are not textbooks. Try 200% of nothing. It'll make you laugh. How many of you read it? Anyone seen that? It's a great book. It deals with the numeracy questions, and it's really fun, and it'll help you get into math so you can do some of that sit down and study time because you're motivated. You see that you need it in your life. Okay, do we have someone who wants to add for me? Anyone can add? Okay, go ahead and, do you have a pencil and paper? Okay, go ahead and do this problem for me. This is what a student says. I have no time to study. I need 8 hours of sleep each night, and that can be figured as one-third of all my time, right? So out of every 24 hours, you're sleeping for 8 hours. And then I need my weekends, and there's 52 weeks in a year. There's 104 Saturdays and Sundays. I need summer vacation and spring break and Christmas days, and those all come to 80 more days. Okay, so we had 365 days at the beginning. Then a third of that, we're sleeping, right? What's a third of that? So you have 122.5, take away 165. You have your weekends, that's 104 days, so take away 104 days. You have summer vacation and Christmas break, that's 80 days, take away 80 days. I also need to eat, it's about 2 hours a day. That takes how many days out of the year? We're going to say 30. So take away 30 days out of your year, and that gives me just a little bit of time to get some exercise. That's essential for me to grow, right? So add that all up together, or subtract your days out, and what do you get? -6. Okay, you get a -6. Is that student correct? They have no time to study?
No, because they divided one-third of the year, and then they subtracted summer vacation.
Okay, we've got somebody thinking here. Because this is the innumeracy of overlapping data. And as soon as you learn about this trait, you'll see this a lot in our society. It's used. Yes? Exactly, okay? There's more than one place in this equation where you have overlapping data, right? Sometimes, isn't Christmas sometimes on a weekend? Okay? He counted weekends, then he counted holidays. Is that overlapping data? Yes. He counted all of his sleep time, and then he added all of those other issues. Do you see the illogical problem there? Okay. We kind of run through some of these. Once you start to see, we spend weeks and weeks on these fun innumeracy puzzles because advertising will just, you'll start to watch an advertisement and someone will say, you know, we had this many people succeed. And you're like, but how many did not? You know? And you'll just be jumping out of your chair because once your mind is turned on to where the innumeracy is in our society, it'll help you make decisions. It'll help you be more rational about what you think about and about how you work with society. So these enumeracy puzzles are very fun and interesting. How about this one? Birthday coincidences. A lot of times people struggle with coincidences. So if you wanted to be absolutely certain that at least two people had the same birthday in a group, how many people would you have to have in the room?
365.
Okay, or 367 with leap year and two people for, right? Okay, but you're right. You're thinking a person for every day. To be absolutely certain that you are going to get two people with the same birthday, you're going to have 367 people. So you have a party, there are 10 friends over, and wow, two of your friends have the same birth. That looks like a really amazing coincidence. But when you sit down and you do the math involved in the equation, what you find out is that if you only want to be 50% sure that you're going to have two people with the same birthday, you don't have to have 367 people. You actually only have to have 23. If you only want to be 50% sure. So when you gather these people together, we'll do the math on this. I don't know if we will have time. Okay. This funny thing happened where one of the night shows, I'm sorry I don't watch TV, but I think it was David Letterman. One of the night shows got a hold of this information. And so the night show host looked out at the audience and said, well, how many people do we have here? Well, we've got, you know, well over 23. So, and we have a good group here. So he said his own birthday, and he said, well, surely someone in the audience will have my same birthday. But nobody in the audience had his same birthday. He said, well, maybe that mathematical statistical law is false. So what were the problems with his assumption?
He was assuming that it had to be his birthday.
Aha! Yes, you're thinking like a mathematician. He didn't go through and find every single birthday in the room and list it, right? And then find out. Now, can you see that the statistical chances greatly are immensely bigger that two people will share a birthday than that you arbitrarily pick out a date and someone will have that same birthday? Okay? And it's fun to do some of the math on these. And then also, he didn't take into account that that mathematical problem is done only on a 50% probability. So how many nights at least would he have to be? You know, you can't do it one night and say it'll work. You can't say every single time I have a party and have 23 people over, two of them are going to share the same birthday. It only happens about half the time, because when you take probability, it changes the whole equation. Well, it's kind of fun to use some of these enumeracy puzzles. Okay. 11:47? Okay. Okay, we're going to go through another fun puzzle. I've got the controls. Well, very, very quickly, this is one of our Billy Goats books, and you can download it off of our website. The fun thing is that we've done in our Eureka clubs, we have a website, eurekastudies.org. Everything is free in our program. If you would like to contribute, I would be thrilled to have you contribute. Basically, it's just fun to do. But we have some really fun points. We're not going to go through this. But we will take a very elite mathematical theory and play with it for just a few minutes. And so I would like another tortured volunteer, somebody who would like attention but doesn't care about being ridiculed. All right, right there. Come on up here. Okay. We're going to have him take a look at this screen, and you guys are welcome to help him out if you think you would, you know, be able to select. He's going to try to select which of these statements would be the most true. And these are his choices. He can say, number one, that sugar is harmful to the health. Or he can say that 1 + 1 = 2. He can say that all birds fly. Or that human beings are classified as hominins. Or he can say that 115 times 37 is 3,255. Or he can say that ferritin combined with iron is actually called apoferritin. Okay, here he's on the hot seat. You want to ask your friends, ask the group for any help?
1 + 1.
Okay, he's going to say 1 + 1 = 2. All right, does anyone have any different answers? Does anyone think that he might not be right? You think it might be the last one. So are you saying that 1 plus 1 equals 2 might not be the right answer? And why? No idea.
The Fibonacci sequence, it actually equals 3.
Okay. So she's thinking there are situations where 1 plus 1 might not equal.
Yes? They're all true.
Okay, maybe they're all true.
Binary 1 plus 1 equals
2.
No. Okay. So she's, now he's thinking that could it be a binary system. Very nice. Yes?
1 plus 1 is actually infinity.
Okay. Thank you. We have a problem with 1 plus 1 equals 2. Are you pretty certain that 1 plus 1 equals 2? Not now, okay? Okay, because our mathematical system, let's look very quickly back at our Venn model. You remember those three circles? Look at where number is in this circle. It's all by itself. The study of arithmetic, the pure number study is all by itself. It's not integrated in time and space. That means it's pure theory, okay? And so our number system is, we made it up. And if you read this funny book about the billy goats, see, they made up their own number system because they were fighting over corn cobs. And it'll help you see a little bit about the way that our number system develops. You'll see that number is out here all by itself. It's imaginary. And so there's an assumption. Good job, Dexter. Would you give Dexter a hand? And so definitely, in all actuality, 1 plus 1 equals 2 is not the truest statement up there. It is human beings are classified as hominins, and that's only because it's by definition. It's very difficult to pin down a very, very specific truth. And we play a lot with truth in our math games. Truth is what it's all about. So if 1 plus 1 does not equal 2, is that disturbing to you? Are you guys upset by this? Have your parents been lying to you? Yeah. Okay, you got a reason to complain, let me tell you. We actually assume that 1 plus 1 equals 2 because when you actually get into math theory and start doing proofs, I have this great teacher who was an actuary. If any of you want to get a great career, that you have all the time in the world and all the money that you need and very low stress, just look at being an actuary. And you'll see math is power. He was teaching because he had made a fortune in 10 years and could do anything he wanted. And he chose to teach. So this was my math professor. And he was fabulous. And we started every single class period. Let 1 equal 1. If 1 equals 1, then. And then we would go on and create a math system. I had him for 4 years. It was my high school years in Texas, and never used a textbook. Very interesting situation in a Texas high school. But we had a lot of fun, and how we thought about this 1 plus 1. So we assume that it's true. Now, if you think about 1 plus 1 equals 2, and you think about this one-to-one relationship, yay, but you still have to assume. Now we're going to, I can understand that you're struggling with this. We're going to go on and talk about it a little bit. Now, let's say you're the billy goats and you're fighting over corn cobs. Are all the corn cobs the same? Okay. Well, what could be different about them?
It could be shorter. Corn cobs are never the same
size. Right. They're never the same size. What if some of them are rotten? Hey, and if you're a billy goat, some of them might be sweeter. Heck, you know, haven't eaten a lot of corn cobs. What about apples? Are all your apples the same?
No.
No, you got different apples. We say apples to apples. Compare the same thing. Let's say you have the same kind of apple off the same tree. Boy, they look the same. Are they going to be the same?
No.
There's something different about them. They have different vitamin C counts. They have a different number of seeds. They have different carbohydrates, slightly different sizes. If you think they're the same size, what do? Take it another decimal point and see if they're still the same size and just keep on going. There is a difference. They'll never be exactly the same. And so as we played with these questions of why 1 might not equal 1? Guess what my students said in one of my classes? Ah, but man-made, machine-made things are the same. Okay, how about coins? Let's take coins, and we're not going to even think about their composition right now, although you can play with that. That's a fun one to play with, too. We're going to just talk about their value. Now, I'm going to put one quarter in my pocket, and then I'm going to get in a boat, and I'm going to head straight out in that Atlantic Ocean for 1 hour, driving straight east. And when I get out there, I'm going to drop the other quarter off the edge. Now, which quarter? Are they worth the same?
Yeah.
You think they're worth the same?
No.
The time that it took you to go out there is the money.
Okay. So time has got an element here. He's thinking about, there's something different about these quarters. Now, what we did in our classes, we said, now, how much money would it take you to get that quarter back? More than a quarter. What are we going to have to add up? Well, you're going to need some scuba gear. Do you also need lessons?
Probably
need lessons. How about a special boat? Global positioning system? What else are you going to need? Maybe a metal detector? Just for a quarter. So do the quarters have the same value?
No.
They can't. They can't have the same value.
Just ask a missionary how much a jar of peanut butter is worth in Brazil.
Okay. So we have, he says, just ask a missionary how much a jar of peanut butter is worth in Brazil. What's different about it? It's separated in space. Look at our Venn model. Remember the three circles? When time touches space, in real life systems, we deal with time and space and number all together. It's just in theory that the two quarters are worth the same amount. So are two quarters ever in the same time or in the same space? They're not. Fascinating concepts. So these are actually really, you know, elite mathematical theories. You can understand them. You can understand the whole concept. But the understanding is not going to give you the power to change your lives and open doors until you put in a whole lot of work to gain a lot of basic skills. Just that right now, since the United States is really stressed, we have very few mathematicians and scientists going into fields. Most of our career mathematicians are coming from other countries right now. Did you know that? Most of our career scientists are coming from other countries. You go into the universities and see who's doing a lot of the studies, or just look up some of the original works. Almost all of them are Asian names. We also have a ton out of Brazil. A whole lot of studies from other countries. What's happening? We are paying someone else to do our math and science for us. Does that bother you?
Yeah.
It comes out of your bank account. Maybe your parents' bank account now, but it comes out of your bank account. As a nation, we're shelling out money to get our math and science done.
That's bad math right there.
That is bad math. Because we're enumerate, we don't really care, right? But when we become numerate, we're going to care. We're going to want the power. And you are the ones right now who are sitting in a seat to go out there and grab it. To say, you know what? You get in a graduate program in math and science right now. They're going to pay your tuition. And they're going to pay you $25,000 or more a term to be in school. You like that idea? Get paid to be in school. You know, your graduate program might cost $20,000 a semester. They're paying that. And then what are they paying you? Another $25,000 to sit there and study. We have a great need right now for great mathematicians and scientists. And it's fun. Is there drudgery in it? There's always routine drudgery in every job. You tell me any job. How about a policeman or a fireman or a paramedic? My husband was a paramedic for years. Kent, is there any drudgery in that? You sit around for a long time, and then you get an exciting call. Is there any drudgery in, what are your other exciting, most exciting jobs?
You have to practice.
Of course. Okay, if you're a great performer, how many hundreds of hours of practice do you put in before you have that exciting moment? Math and science is very similar. You put in a lot of hours. You can make those hours as fun and exciting as you can with great attitude. We saw some fun attitudes up here in the panel. Take that attitude, capitalize on it, and then you can make, as you're one of your mentors, some of the greatest mathematicians of all. Who's the greatest mathematician in the universe? Yes. God is a mathematician. Your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, they must understand math and science. They understand it perfectly. They understand all the dimensions. And understanding math and science can also bring you closer to them. I encourage you to get out there and find and nurture that inner mathematician. Have all the fun that you want. Remember, no matter what you choose to do in your life, you're going to have to put in a lot of routine time. I bear you my witness that studying, putting in the time, working hard, bringing it into your life with a note of spirituality will bring you great benefits. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.